Hello and a very warm welcome to Central Stage. Good to have you with us. Now, since its inception, the Islamic Unity Week has been marked annually, marking the birth anniversary of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, not only in Iran, but also throughout the world, and has played an important part in drawing attention to this long-awaited objective of the world of Islam, Islamic unity. Hello again and welcome back. Today we're going to talk about Islamic unity, and also we're talking about Muslims united against extremism, which seems to be one of the biggest problems that Muslims are facing at the moment. And in order to talk about this very important issue, we're delighted to be joined by two guests. Now, in our Qom studio, I'm very pleased to be joined by a prolific writer and established scholar, Dr. Mohsen Ghambari. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Assalamu alaikum. It's my pleasure to be with you in this program.
Thank you very much indeed. Now, let me just tell you that Dr. Ghambari is the head of research group of politics and Mahdism at Mahdism Research Center. His publications include Saverism and the Great Middle East Initiative. Now, over the phone from the holy city of Mashhad, I'm delighted to be joined by a well-established educator and researcher, Dr. Sayyid Mohsen Fatemi. Welcome to Central Stage.
Hello.
Good to have you with us. Now, let me tell you that Dr. Fatemi is a highly accomplished scholar and researcher. He teaches also at Harvard University. And I have to tell you that he's also a prolific writer, that several published books, articles, and poetry. Time for a short break.
The 27th International Islamic Unity Conference was held in the Iranian capital, Tehran. The three-day conference, which concluded on Sunday, brought together 300 prominent Muslim scholars and thinkers from 50 countries across the globe. The event, which this year was titled The Holy Quran and Its Role in Uniting the Islamic Ummah, kicked off on Friday, January 17th, with Iranian President Hassan Rouhani's inauguration speech. President Rouhani referred to Iran's anti-extremism resolution called the World Against Violence and Extremism, that is WAVE. The resolution was adopted unanimously last month by the UN General Assembly. He said the resolution was Iran's first step to foil the Western campaign against Islam. The WAVE Act calls on all nations across the globe to denounce violence and extremism. Under the resolution, the General Assembly would urge all member states to unite against violent extremism in all its forms and manifestations, as well as sectarian violence. It would encourage efforts by leaders to discuss within their communities the causes of violent extremism and discrimination and evolve strategies to address them. It would also recommend the promotion of community engagement in countering violent extremism, including by strengthening ties between communities and emphasizing common bonds and interests. It would also, to quote Rouhani's General Assembly speech last year, help peace prevail over war, tolerance over violence, progress over bloodletting, justice over discrimination, prosperity over poverty, and freedom over despotism. We can add to that list Islamic unity over disunity.
Hello again. It's great to have you back with us. Now, in a Sunday meeting with Iranian officials and foreign participants in the 27th International Islamic Unity Conference in Tehran, the Iranian leader described unity as the most important issue in the Muslim world today. But Dr. Fatemi, looking back at what's been happening over the course of the last few years, and even as we speak in Iraq, Syria and elsewhere, it's fair to say that we've not given this important issue its due attention.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think one of the implications of unity for the Muslim world is to understand the practical strategies that Muslim can take into consideration
right.
to develop an amicable and amiable dialogical conversation so that they can focus on common values, common denominators, mm. and focus on what can strengthen the true Islamic spirit. Within the pure Islamic spirit from Prophet Muhammad salawatullah alayhi, you do not see any sign that encourages or promotes or induces any sort of rift among Muslims. And any form of extremism associated with any sort of malignant approach against the community of Muslims in general would endanger and jeopardize the pristine Islamic spirit. So, as you just pointed out, the significance of unity among Muslims is a great asset that needs to be implemented on earnest in terms of application, in terms of practicality, in terms of strategies and everything. One of the reasons that this may be concealed to oblivion is not focusing on the practical consequences or practical aspects of this in terms of mm-hmm. societal values, advantages, and things that can strengthen and develop a more profound community of people with specific goals in mind.
So, Dr. Fatemi, what do you exactly mean by those practical aspects?
The practical aspects is if the unity, mm-hmm. as described by the agenda in terms
right.
of the week of the unity, mm-hmm. can take place and can transpire in reality, mm-hmm. there would be more cooperation or even more collaboration among Muslim communities and Muslim nations in terms of dealing with challenges that they have right now in the world today.
Okay.
It helps them understand mm-hmm. how they can deal with problems or deal with issues in a more constructive manner.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Now, the 27th International Islamic Unity Conference in Tehran, which brought together 300 prominent Muslim scholars and thinkers from around the world, concluded on Sunday. Dr. Ghambari, what's your assessment of the role that such gatherings can play in uniting Muslims? Because to be honest with you, we've had lots of these gatherings, and we'd like to know whether they could be of any real outcome.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين إنه خير ناصر ومعين. What's important is that next to the theoretical activities that we are doing and we're practicing in the academic and scholarly way and method of unity and implementing unity among Muslims, I do think that we are in need of some practical ways of doing that. And one of the practical method and appearance of unity that is going to be done is such a gathering that we have every year in Iran. And this gathering and assembly invites people, especially Muslims, to gather next to one another, with one another, and talk to one another, just basing on common things and commonalities that we have: one Quran, one God, one Qibla direction, and the same prayer that we are performing and the same fasting that we are performing. So based on the things that are common and shared between all Muslims that are belonging to one great Ummah, that is Islamic Ummah, so we can do that and focus on that point, that next to the theoretical approaches that we should have in this issue. So we are in need of some practical ways. And to do practice of unity, I don't think we are in force of doing some, drawing some road plan that is practical and applicable in the societies. You know, most of the times we are talking and just discussing among ourselves, but without practicing anything, and it doesn't end up, it doesn't work among the societies, among Muslim countries. Nowadays, all the people, at least the majority of people, if we don't say all the people, right, understand the benefits and the advantages of the unity, especially among Muslims. But what we're missing is practical approach and drawing roadmap toward this unity. And I do think that the first step for having this roadmap is creating one community that is gathering under one flag, and that is the flag of Islam, not the flag of any certain sect of Islam. We are not talking about Shia, Sunni, or the other sects of Islamic Ummah. We are focusing on Islam itself. Then such a gathering that we have in the Unity Week in Iran has a very great message to the all Muslims, and that is, let us talk on the common things and common area that we can talk about that, and that is standing in the middle zone among all sectarians, sectarian groups that we have, and sectarian challenges that we have. Stay in the middle zone and talk to all the people, and especially Muslims.
Great, thank you very much indeed. Now, Dr. Fatemi, we had also Dr. Ghambari there talking about practical issues. We know that the focus of this conference and similar seminars and conferences actually has mainly been on scholar level. So basically lectures, workshops, Q&A sessions among scholars. But what about the grassroots level and ordinary, normal people? At the end of the day, we know that the message of Islamic unity has to be effectively communicated to all Muslims from all walks of life.
Yeah, I think it may be safe to say that one of the practical ways that can facilitate the process of this constructive dialogical conversation among all these walks of life can deal with a phenomenological and experiential understanding of people who are involved in different levels. Unstructured interviews with different people belonging to all these communities can look into the possibility of a process in which this dialogical conversation can take place, and in the meantime, people can develop rapport and understanding in terms of their lived experiences and the problems that they are dealing with. So these conferences, workshops, lectures, scholarly conversations, all of them are of great avail. But in terms of practical manifestation, if they want to get it done, they just need to go ahead and make sure that they would have some sort of understanding or connectedness to the phenomenological aspect of real-life situations. And this presupposes that they need to extend a sort of rapport, they develop a sort of empathy, in order to understand the underlying situational analysis, the underlying demonstration of people experiences in terms of what is it that they can come up with as common denominators.
Okay, thank you very much indeed for that. Let's take a short break. After the break, we'll be talking about a common Muslim unity and whether that would be actually possible to realize. So please do stay with Central Stage. Hello again and welcome back. Now, at least some Europeans identify themselves as European. So they have, for instance, a European identity on the one hand and a German or Dutch identity, for instance, on the other. Now, there are certainly commonalities amongst EU member states and their citizens which have brought them closer and have led to the establishment of the European Union. We know that there is much common ground between Muslims as well, but the same union or unity or even common identity has actually not realized. Dr. Ghambari, where did we go wrong?
I don't think what is wrong with Muslims is getting away from the original Islam, that we can find it in our authentic sources to understand Islamic teachings, including the Holy Quran, as well as the tradition of Prophet through the Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salam. Because we are going away from these two great sources that are authentic sources of understanding Islam, then we are going to put ourselves in trouble among the communities that we have. If we refer to the Holy Quran, Quran invites us to unity, to become united, to become brothers to one another, sisters in another, to one another, in faith, of course. If we consider the two verses of the Holy Quran that are located in chapter Ali Imran, verse number 102 and 103, Allah invites us as Muslims to practice piety, to be muttaqi, as Allah deserves. And Allah says, do not die except as a Muslim. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. So you Muslims, live as a Muslim and die as a Muslim. So Allah invites us to die as a Muslim. Then we can ask the Holy Quran, oh, the Quran, the Book of God, how could we die as a Muslim? The next verse just interprets the meaning of dying as a Muslim. Allah says, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold fast all together to the rope of God, to the covenant of God, and not to be disunited. So the meaning of being a Muslim and dying as a Muslim means to hold fast to the rope of God, to become united. So unity is the secret of being a Muslim, living a Muslim life, and dying as a Muslim. Then just Hablullah is the important thing that we can take benefit of that. And this is the Holy Quran. We have to return back to the Quran. Focus on the Quran, concentrate on the meaning of that, and after that, in the second level, to practice it among ourselves. And the other, we can say, okay, within the Quran, there are some verses that are not so clear in meaning. No one can understand some of the verses of the meaning of that. Then we have to find good interpreters of the Holy Quran and that is Prophet himself and the helps of the Prophet alayhi salam. Through the ahadith, we can understand different meaning of the verses of the Holy Quran. I don't think that we are disunited, and because of that, we are missing our real Islam. So being real Muslim, we have to be united. And to be united, we have to return back to the Quran and the tradition of prophets.
Right. Thank you very much indeed. Now, one of the conference participants this year, Mr. Asif Lokman Ghazi from Pakistan, from Pakistan Discussion and Solution Center, made an interesting remark in an interview, Dr. Fatemi with Press TV. He said, quote, the Muslims should insist on their Islamic identity instead of identifying themselves as sects such as Shiite or Sunni. Our identity is Islam. Your comments.
The Holy Quran indicates that Muslims and also people in the world can explicate the possibility of having an amicable conversation about what develops a bridge among them. فترت الله التي فتر الناس عليها لا تبديل لخلق الله ذلك الدين القيم ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون, which suggests that if you just go ahead and develop that sense of common points that help people create values, everybody, based on the Islamic doctrine, can go ahead and proceed with common factors. And those common factors are shared in terms of values from the epistemological and ontological layers, which are well embedded in monotheism. And monotheism supports and substantiates the possibility of having got shared values, shared understanding, and shared mission, because it helps you understand your connectedness to God on the one hand, and as you have a sort of improvement in your relationship with God,
right,
your improvement has implications for interpersonal issues. In other words, we can always think of four possible ways or modes of communicating or relating to ourselves and people around ourselves. But these modes of communication or interaction or something are always embedded within the underlying aspect of our connectedness to God. If our connectedness to God is going to be embedded within the profound layers, then we would have more salience in terms of our flexibility, our understanding, our growth and development in terms of interpersonal issues. And the Holy Quran indicates that the key to this relationship is attention towards Sagalain, reiterated by Prophet Muhammad Salawatullah alayhi, and the Prophet reiterates this, that I leave you with two things. One is Quran, and the other one is Itrat, which is going to help people, specifically Muslims, to proceed with illuminating, enlightening strategies, and those are going to be crystallized and characterized through their wisdom, understanding, sagacity, and perspicacity,
right,
with a concentration on common values.
Great. But, you know, the thing is, Dr. Fatemi, that both you and Dr. Ambari actually referred to the household of the Prophet. We know that our Sunni brothers and sisters, they have different views on the, you know, the principle of imamate. They have also their own opinion about the caliphate. So probably that's not a common point to build upon when it comes to Muslim unity.
If Muslims try to benefit from the wisdom which is embedded within the Islamic doctrine, they can focus on distinguishing the essential from the important, and the important from the favorable, and the favorable from the thrown away. In other words, in dealing with challenges in our world today, they can come up and ask themselves, what is the essential, what is the vital things that they can just focus on as common factors, and then they can go ahead and proceed with the vital type of things without getting engaged in things that may be favorable, but they may not necessarily be simultaneous with the vital type of things. If I want to exemplify this in a sort of analogy, I might resort to this example, which may not be necessarily identical to our discussion, but it just helps my points be developed in a more perceptible and tangible manner. If a flood is, for example, pouring and people are overwhelmed by an inundation or something, the essential thing is to just you know, do their best to save themselves from the implication of the flood or something. If at the same time that they are overwhelmed by the flood or something, they just sit down and talk about, for example, who's going to be the nice player or who's going to be the one who is doing the best soccer game, for example, between Barcelona and Portugal or something, although that's favorable, that's not essential. And doing that sort of favorable under those circumstances may not be necessarily in line with that sort of wisdom. Holy Quran has at least 44, according to research, 44 cases where people are invited to ponder, to develop reflexivity, to cogitate and contemplate before making a decision. and getting inspired by that sort of recommendation, we can demonstrate and acknowledge that in dealing with all these common values and common points, we need to focus on the essential.
Okay.
And if the favorable is going to be simultaneous with the essential, under some circumstances, way to go for it. But if not, you just need to take it upon yourself to, you know, highlight them as the occasion arises, and do not get mingled with the type of things that are not standing at the top of the list under the other types of circumstances.
Mm. Thank you very much indeed. Now let's talk a little bit about Islamic unity. And one of the problems which basically, to literally speaking, destroys Islamic unity, and that is extremism. We know that on September 24th, President Rouhani called for a world against violence and extremism, or the so-called wave, during his speech at the 68th session of the UN General Assembly in New York. Now, in mid-December, Iranian ambassador to the UN said the world body put Rouhani's proposal on the agenda, and eventually the UN General Assembly voted by consensus last month to approve the WAVE Act, which calls on all nations across the globe to denounce violence and extremism. Now, Dr. Ghambari, apparently Iran believes that dealing with extremism needs international determination.
Yes, the proposal of President Rouhani, I think that was very important because it has different dimensions. One of the aspects of this proposal is to reject Islamophobia wave in the world, because, you know, we are seeing that in different corners of the world, there are some groups of Muslims acting in an extremist way, and they are just violating the image of Islam among the Westerners and the people who are not believing in Islam, and just increasing the numbers of enemies of Islam. But such a proposal rejecting that, you know, activity by saying that we are against that extremism, we are Muslims, Shia Muslims or Sunni Muslims, okay, we are rejecting totally that kind of activities. And such a proposal shows that, okay, you and we should help one another to stop that extremism in the world. And also Islamophobia, Shiaphobia, and Iranophobia is something wrong. And the Westerners should change their point of view toward Islam. And the other point, I think that this proposal has another advantage, that this proposal has, is to show that we Iranian people are just following the peaceful coexistence method and approach in the world, because we are calling ourselves as Muslims, and Islam means peace, and to bring peace to another Muslims and non-Muslims even. And to reach that, first, we have ourselves to change our mind toward another people, especially to the extremist people, and then to try stop their understanding and activities toward Islam and Islamic teachings, and then to say, okay, we are not with them, we are against them, and you have to help us to stop that things, that activities.
Okay, thank you very much indeed for that. Now, let's take a short break. After the break, we'll have Central Stage Online Search for you. Hello again, it's great to have you back with us. Now it's time for today's Central Stage Online Search. And because we don't have any guests in the studio who could actually watch the screen, so you have to bear with me, because I want to just provide some information on some of the interesting web pages that took center stage last week. So let's have a look at our first web page. It's from Press TV, and as you can see, it's about Iran's holding Islamic Unity Conference. So basically, this year's theme was the Holy Quran and its importance in uniting Muslims. So let's go to our next web page. So this is, of course, a knowledgeable guest. But actually, again, from Press TV, Iran holds Islamic Unity Conference, a very beautiful picture of the Holy Quran, the book which unites Muslims. I have to tell you that, unfortunately, there are some misconceptions even about the Holy Quran. There are some people who believe that Shiite Muslims believe in a different Quran, which is, totally nonsense. Okay, let's go to our next webpage. Unity Week concludes in Nigeria. So that actually is the point that Unity Week is not just celebrated in Iran, but also across the globe. Okay, let's go to our next webpage. So this is about UN voting to adopt Iran's anti-extremism resolution. That was one of the resolutions suggested by Iran, which was also adopted by the UN General Assembly, by the UN. So let's go to our next webpage. It's a very interesting, point made by the Iranian head of judiciary power. Takfiri groups chewing Muslims' unity like termite. So I think it's a very interesting, comparison, isn't it? Comparing extremists to termites are actually eating Islamic unity. And let's go to our last webpage, which is the Shia Post webpage, and have a look at those people. Those people are actually the ISIL group, the Takfiri groups. They have beheaded 40 members of another, extremist group. I think it's really, disappointing. At the same time, quite strange that two extremist people are killing each other, beheading each other. And so that shows that they do not even have mercy on those people who have the same belief as their own. Okay, thank you very much for your attention to our web pages. And now let's move on to another topic which is really important. We know that judging, grading, and labeling other Muslims have become standard behavior at some quarters, unfortunately, particularly the extremist sectors within the Muslim community, like Takfiri groups, fan the flames of disunity among Muslims. Now, Dr. Fatemi, is ideological and political extremism a part of the accepted norms in Islam, do you think?
Well, when one explores the realm of Islamic understanding, and when one has an iota of understanding Prophet Muhammad salawatullahi alayhi and his household in terms of practice, praxis, and the performance, one necessarily acknowledges the fact that the types of extremism that you have discussed is ineluctably away and detached from the Islamic pristine realm of possibilities. In other words, these forms of extremism have got no room in Islamic doctrine, and there is no place or there is no sort of justification for such extremism within the Islamic world. Islam is, and I can argue that is the essential avenue, the panacea for a peaceful, oriented mind. And Islam contends that the security within yourself, along with tranquility and composure, would give rise to security in your interpersonal and international ties. Prophet Muhammad salawatullahi alayhi himself was the manifestation of the most beautiful form of peace and tranquility and composure. Right. And he offers people that sense of empowerment that through having got a great connectedness to God and great connectedness to themselves, they could come up with resources that develop a sense of security, a sense of serenity, and a sense of composure. And that sense of composure can never, ever give rise to any form of extremism. The types of extremisms that you have discussed and you pointed out in your great questions have got no room within the Islamic doctrine of Prophet Muhammad, and therefore they are denounced and condemned by Prophet Muhammad's practice, by Prophet Muhammad's manifestation of, performance and everything. You can see that at the time of Prophet Muhammad or, for example, Imam Ali or, we have this trend of extremism in different forms that people try to resort to sort of bellicosity or animosity or something against the pure Mohammedan, pristine form of doctrine, and therefore it is denounced by the Islamic doctrine. In other words, there is not any place, there is no room for any form of extremism within the Islamic doctrine whatsoever.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Now, we just have about 2 minutes to the end of the show, and I'd like to put this last question to both our guests. For each of our guests, we have only 1 minute. So first, Dr. Ghambari, what are the practical and doable mechanisms that you as a Muslim scholar offer to achieve unity among Muslims?
I do think that we have to, propagate true Islam among Muslims and all Muslims to become brothers to one another and to be members of one great community, and that we call it Islamic Ummah, instead of focusing on national identity and geographical borders. Instead of that, it's better to focus on Islamic identity than is Muslim brotherhood.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Now, Dr. Fatemi, we have less than a minute. So far, so bad, right? We haven't united. So do you think that there is any way out of this?
Yes, I think that through focusing on the practicalities of Islam, Islam is emanating from, the concept of submission towards truth, and it's got such a huge focus on salam, and salam within Islamic doctrine is associated with composure, peace, and tranquility. Right. Focusing on that would help everybody live amiably, and favorably based on the values that are going to be shared in a real Islamic community.
Okay, thank you very much indeed for your valuable comments. Sorry to end it there, but we're out of time. So before I go, I'd like to thank again my top guests. We had Dr. Sayed Mohsen Fatemi and also Dr. Mohsen Ghambari, both great scholars and researchers, and also both of them prolific writers. We talked about Islamic unity, and of course that was on the occasion of the Islamic Unity Week in Tehran. So we really want to find out whether there is a way out of disunity, and I think both the scholars who joined us today agreed that if we focus on practicality of Islam and Islamic principles, there is a way out of this sorry state of affairs. And of course I again want to repeat this very interesting comment by the Iranian chief of judiciary, that extremism is destroying Islamic unity like termites within itself, and we hope that there will be an end to extremism sooner rather than later. So thanks very much indeed for coming on, for talking to us, and of course for those insights. And I'd also like to thank you, our dearest viewer, for having taken the time to watch this week's Central Stage. Until next week from me, our guest today and the rest of the team, it's goodbye for now. Thanks very much indeed for watching.